As international break dominates league football in England, we too have been affected by call-ups, losing young Adam, who will be representing the PW podcast out in Spain. But his departure is softened by his replacement, as Jay Whittle steps up to the mantle to make his first team debut. As we look back on the Rotherham game, analyse the start of the season, discuss the relief of the closing of the transfer window, and we will be announcing the winner of the Goal Hanger Ben Watson competition. This is the Progress with Unity podcast. Come on, you lads, it's yo.
Barrett.
Evening, Paul.
Evening.
Good stuff. Adam?
Hello. There's only one Adam.
Yeah, there is this evening. Gareth?
Evening.
There's only one Gareth.
There is.
Always. Si.
Barry.
And, of course, we're missing young Adam. He's away, so we've got Jay Whittle to step up. How are you doing, Jay? Okay?
Yeah, good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's a pleasure.
Jay sits a bit closer to me than Adam does. Adam sits a bit further away, so...
It
started.
Oh, here we go.
Probably been 30 seconds yet.
So, how's things going, Jay? I've seen some of your stuff on the old interweb there, you know. Are you doing a bit of work experience with the Evening Post?
Yeah, I'm doing an internship at the moment with the Wigan Post.
So does that mean you're doing everything and not getting paid?
Yeah. But in the polite way of saying. Yeah, it's really enjoyable. Learning a lot from Paul Kendrick.
we're joking, of course, yeah. So, yeah, is he suit you under his wing?
You could say so. He's very good at what he does, and he's passing that down to me.
Yeah.
He's going to give me the fiver tomorrow when I next see him.
Yeah. Has he taught you how to make a pot noodle?
No, he's taught me how to do awful puns.
Awful puns, yeah. Well, he is the man
of
the...
We're going to kick them into touch tonight.
Right, anyway, let's crack on. We've got a lot to get through this evening, haven't we, Si?
Oh,
hell of a lot.
Yeah.
So, we'll start off, as we always do, recapping the last game that we played, which in this case was the Rotherham United game at the DW Stadium, played on Saturday. Gareth, have you got some stats from that game for us, please?
Yes, sir. Stats from that game, Barry. Possession. The Latics managed 60% possession to 40% by Rotherham. Attempts. Both teams had 16 attempts. Wigan had 5 attempts on target, and Rotherham had 4 attempts on target. Corners, again 5-4 to the Latics. Fouls committed, 10 by Wigan, 13 by Rotherham. Yellow cards, Wigan got 2 and Rotherham got 3. Fortunately, no reds, 1-0 to the Latics and another 3 points.
Absolutely. anybody like me thought it just weren't going to happen? Or did you expect to score on the... I really did believe it was going to be one of them days.
I always had faith that it was going to happen. I think I just didn't think they could hold out that long, because we particularly over the first half we absolutely battered them in the first half, and they did defend pretty well, and they were slightly better in the second half. But we've got some good options on the bench now, so you know you take off. You know, two of the informed players in the division, probably the informed player in the division, and you're still able to bring on Vaughan and McManaman. So they're probably looking at it thinking, oh, we thought we'd seen them off, and then these two come off. So it's not bad subs to put on, are they, really?
How much passion does he play with as well, James Vaughan? I mean, something about him, he makes me feel a certain way when you just see him play. But no, in all seriousness, he plays with passion and commitment, doesn't he? That's something special to bring off the bench.
James Vaughan, Mick Simon. We're not Simon.
Mick Simon, like Paul Warney.
Yeah. But I thought it. I mean, it was a real scrappy goal. But are they not the best goals to score? The scrappy one.
For me, the key thing is we've got ourselves over the line. You know, It was a game where Ash kept saying on commentary, or Tommy Gore, one of the two, was saying it's either going to be a scrappy goal or a worldie.
Just to explain to people, because I know what you do when you're at the game. You have the commentary on as well, don't you?
Yes,
just in case you miss anything.
Yeah, usually I'm a radio. Well, it's usually Andy for stuff that's going on.
But what happens if the radio gets ahead of the game? It's going to spoil it for you.
Do you know what? If they get in front, it does spoil it.
Do you know what I like is that Paul's just compared Ash to Tommy Gore, so that's going to go down.
Well, it's not Ash, is it?
It's Guy Clark.
It used to be Ash, yeah.
So, Ash, make it that what you want.
Yeah, one of them. I'm saying I can't remember whose voice it was. But yeah, one of them basically predicted that it was either going to be a worldie or a scrappy goal. But for me, the absolute key thing is we got over the line, we picked up 3 points. In a game which we should have won, let's face it, but if we look back over recent weeks, we've not managed to do that on a couple of occasions.
We played better and lost.
Yeah.
It kind of bounces out for that, though. Obviously, those defeats against QPR, Sheffield Wednesday, Nottingham Forest Point and Villa as well, we've been hard done by, and I think Saturday's win makes up for that.
I don't think we were that bad, by the way.
No. When you look at the stats, with 60% of possession, with 16 attempts, 5 of which are on target, we won the game. For me, the man of the match was our centre-half, Cedric Kipre. I thought he was absolutely magnificent. Yeah.
Well, I'd wrote our alternative man of the match at more or less the midpoint of the game. Got it saved, ready to go, and Kipre. Callum Connolly got 3% of the votes. Christian Walton 10%. Well, I thought I had a quite decent game.
Solid. Coming out for everything.
Yeah. Solid and a very good save at the end as well.
Young Windass, 28% of the vote, and then Kipre was in a league of his own with 59% of the vote.
Well, the thing is, the alternative man of the match usually is like who's the best of the non-obvious choices.
The unsung hero,
He kind of elevated himself to be in the group above that. Yeah. So
I thought he was outstanding. I don't know what you made of it, Gareth, you know, with him being defensive player winning it. Does it seem striking to you that a defender, you win a game, you're so comfortable in possession, does it seem strange that a defender wins the man of the match, and especially a defender who doesn't get himself forward that often?
I don't know what to say.
Well, I know, that's how, you know, we're all...
Sorry, I'm lost for words.
Yeah.
Well,
we are, aren't we? I mean, because I think we saw possibly the reason why we signed him on Saturday. Because previously, he's been all right.
I've been a bit worried, haven't I?
You always worry, Si.
He was absolutely magnificent.
Well, look, you know, people proved me wrong. Jamie Jones proved me wrong last season.
Maxie as well?
Max, yeah, but that was given to me on bad advice from Tranmere fan in Norwich, so I should have asked questions about that.
I also I tell you, the last it was an odd game because we got to the point, didn't we, where we got in front and you think that's it, hard work's done, and then all of a sudden they suddenly started, you know, they started creating chances, didn't they, and became a threat. And during that period of time, one thing I noticed, I don't know what you think about this, Reece James, the fullback, I think he'll make a good centre-half. You're not seeing how good he is in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. Some of his heading was superb when he was winning those.
Someone I was talking to last night said, you know, Reece James for them has been one of the best players this season, better than Anthony Robinson. Maybe not going forward as much, but defensively. And
I think he's all right. He's got a good cross on him too, hasn't he?
3 point crosses up.
You keep having to say to yourself, how is this his sixth league game?
Yeah, and 18 years of age as well.
He's got a massive future ahead of him.
I think he'll be England's best ever defender.
I think he might be very close.
There's your quote for the Twitter tonight, isn't it?
There's been a few decent ones over the years.
I like what I see so far.
Better than G-Nev?
He doesn't look like a kid either.
I'm going to commit you to that.
Better than G-Nev? Yeah.
Yeah.
Better in the air already, I can tell. Sorry, G-Nev.
Yeah, Kipre was the mountain for me, though. He really was. Some of them challenges. That Smith, if you remember last season, he came down here and he gave us a torrid time, the guy up front for that Smith. Yeah. And Kipre had him in his back pocket.
They're going to struggle, aren't they, this season?
Yeah, I thought Taylor played well for him. John Taylor, the ex-Latics player. Well, I think he switched. Alright, so I can't say why right. But I think he switched. He went off injured as well. I thought he had a good game.
I'll stick with Echo, though. I think they'll stay up.
Yeah?
I think they'll stay up, yeah. Because I think they'll grind the odd point out away and they've already won two at home.
Do they not remind you of us two seasons ago where they're not necessarily going to go and concede? Like you said, they went to Leeds and only lost 2-0.
No.
So they might not concede.
I'll tell you why they don't. The difference that they have for me is they've got spirit. And they've got a manager who they're buying into. We didn't have that, and that can get you a long way. They're going to be near the bottom, but I think they might just.
And as we saw last season, they've got staying power.
Yep, they have. Yeah.
They've not scored a goal away from home yet, though. But Proctor's coming back now, isn't he? He came on in the second half, and he's good at decent
striker. The Rotherham fan last week said as well to look out for that Vassell, and he was on the bench, wasn't he? I don't know what happened there.
He caused a lot of threat when he came on. He had a nice few touches.
Yeah, unless he wasn't quite fit, but...
Used to be a black answers.
Anyway, it's not the Rotherham podcast. But
No. Nick Paul went off, slight hamstring, but he's going to be fit for Brentford. It's Brentford next game.
He was playing with that for quite a while before he went off.
Yeah. He signalled to the bench, didn't he?
We saw him. In fact... He might have. Did he go off in the second half? Because I think he was. I think he was playing with it in the first half, because I noticed it.
What about his hamstring?
Yeah, he was playing with that as well. I noticed him feel it. You know, when you're thinking,
oh, you're not hamstring, here, Paul.
Is he feeling it because it's tight, or is he feeling it because he's just had a knock? And then when he came back out for the second half, I thought, it must be all right. But then obviously later on he went off. So it's not as though he's just gone bang and ripped it. It's obviously
just a bit of a tweak.
A bit of something dodgy going on, yeah.
Yeah, well, I think he has tight hamstrings anyway, as we've seen over...
Come at the right time to have an injury, though, hasn't it? You know, best part of 2 weeks.
Yeah. Talking of which, cool. Bit of bad news on Gavin Massey. It sounds like he's going to be out for quite a while.
I thought that when he did it, like, at QPR, because it's just... Them ones when they really pull up, I don't know, to me, it always looks dodgy, those, and...
And he starts the season in such great shape, hasn't he?
He's been one of our best players, hasn't he?
The bad thing about it is, I don't know, over the years you see people who, once it really goes, do they ever get it back? You know, if it's gone properly. Because he's very fast, isn't it, as well? They always say quick players can struggle. I always have bad hammers.
When he runs down the wing, he's as fast as lightning. Yeah. It's frightening.
Simon. Right, yeah, so Vonnie Gould, Macca, made an impression when he came on. Yeah.
He was a nuisance, wasn't he? A right nuisance. I mean, you've seen the Macca of old, haven't you?
Yeah, he's got an edge to him, hasn't he? Every time you go into a challenge, you're like, you know, you have that sort of feeling about him. But
do you think we'll potentially see the best of Callum McManaman due to his contract length at Wigan? Because not only is he playing for potentially another contract at Wigan, but also putting himself in the shop window. For next season. I know we're only a few games into this, but he's got a massive points pre lance him.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's obviously he's not match fit yet, isn't it? You know, he's not played a lot of football over the last, well, since his last Latics, has it, really?
No.
It was almost for me on Saturday that once he got the ball in the box, something clicked in his mind and he just like remembered that he can like jink one way, jink the other, and he creates that space. It was just reminding me a little bit of that in the final. When he just kept turning him one way, turning him the other in the box.
And he should have slipped Corney in, but he didn't in the other shot.
Yeah.
That one.
But even so, you know, it's showing that he has got it there still, hasn't he? But I think at the moment we're only going to get it in short bursts, I think, aren't we?
Yeah.
I think he just needs to run a game, to be honest. He's not really had many starts and can't really blame him with the former Gavin Massey, but now he's injured. Gives him
He was used as an impact sub quite a bit, wasn't he, as well?
Yeah.
Rather than... and also starting games and coming off early, so
sweet.
Has he ever been fully fit type of thing?
Speaking of Cal Macken, looking forward to January time, the third round of the FA Cup, how nice would it be to get West Ham Zabaleta versus Matt Manahan? How good would that be?
I'd sooner get Charlie.
Hey, we cursed them.
With France, okay. So
we,
me,
a good, really good performance at home. Edge of your seat game. Again, once it 1-0 right to the end, you didn't know which way the you know it was going to go. Disappointing thing about the stats as well. 9,584.
Call it 9,000 home, don't you?
Yeah, and they were going up on 85 minutes, 88 minutes, 89 minutes, going out.
Yeah, and I don't know, a lot of miss important parts of that game.
Well, especially the way the season's been going with last minute goals. That game could have gone anywhere at that stage. We could have won 2-0, it could have been 1-1, we could have lost 2-1. Anything could have happened the way it was.
It's not like you need to beat traffic, is it?
No. Just don't understand it. I mean, I don't know what they've got to do to get the supporters in.
I've got to come to the supporters' defence here because I work and I have to go early.
Yeah, I mean, that's a complete. You know, a lot of people just wanting to get away to beat.
I don't
traffic.
Work every week, but when I'm working, I have to go. It's like 82 minutes, I've got to go.
Yeah, so we'll get and to that, work. That's understandable. Of course. You get a lot of people who
will leave. 50% of the crowds don't work on a Saturday night, do they?
There's a few sitting me and say, oh, come on, we'll get off, beat the traffic. But it's not like there's 25,000 on you getting stuck down Stadium Way.
Is it that they're scared of watching the end?
Well, possibly.
You know, when you see, I remember one, and I'm going to go into a bit of a rambly story here, so it's a good job we've not got much to talk about tonight. I watched England go to, we were in a pub, we were on a training course, there were six of us. Six of us in this pub, and we'd had a few, and England were playing, it was one of the Euros, and we got a bit excited, and we bust this chair, and the landlord was an ex-rugby union player, and he came over to us with purpose to our table where we were sat, and he's thinking, we're going to get turfed out here just as the penalties come on, and he come over and you're thinking, oh, here we go. And he says, have you got your mate's beer? Because he's outside, he can't watch penalties. I just wonder if it's a bit like that, where you get people that just, they'd rather just not face up to the tension in the dying minutes.
No.
Why would you leave?
Why?
I think that's a fully legitimate thing. And you've got to go to work. The working funds what you're doing there, and it's all one big cycle.
But if you want to leave, go. But don't walk past me. Then, you know what I mean?
It's when you leave and then think, well, actually, I might just get another minute and stand there and everybody else is where.
Yeah,
It's like they're scared to watch the end but don't want to miss out.
Yeah, if you go in, go. Yeah. But don't stand in front of me.
Yeah.
It's weird. I do think it is people that are worried in case it goes wrong, or
I think it's a shame for the players as well, because obviously if they've got a win and people aren't staying behind giving them the round of applause they deserve.
Tell you, didn't leave early on Saturday, Melvin.
Melvin didn't, no.
Melvin didn't leave early
there's
on Saturday.
The bitter end.
He was there and he clapped the players off at the end. Who's Melvin?
Yeah, exactly.
Go on, Simon, who's Melvin? We know, don't we?
Who's Melvin? Yeah, some. Well, not someone, he's the mon, isn't he?
The mon.
From IEC.
Chief been executive.
Every home game of the season, we are led to believe, watching the ticks.
Yeah.
Meaning that hopefully the takeover is drawing ever closer.
Imminent, I think that's the word that was used to us. It was their age, Simon.
It was IEC's AGM today.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't make it.
No,
they had their AGM at B&Q. Just you didn't get them letters and the acronyms that you come up with.
So. Right, I want to give a big shout out to Gaz. All right, Gaz B, you know who you are. Bumped into him outside the Springfield Hotel on Saturday after the game. He was enjoying a pint with his father. I think he might have left early to get the ale. No, he didn't.
I find it more funny that it's a hotel.
Yeah, well. Anyway, Gaz did pose a serious question to me. Actually. Yeah, he said,
"Pay for me beer."
I don't do Facebook. I don't do Twitter. Where do I get the Progress of the Unity podcast? So I said to him, "Did you listen to last week's?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, where did you get that from?" He said, "I searched for it on Google." I said, "Well, there you go."
Yeah, iTunes is as good a place as any.
iTunes, so you can get Gaz, you can get it on iTunes, you can get it, if you don't do iTunes, just do it on Google. We even have our own blog spot, don't we?
Buzzsprout, yeah.
And it is www, no, we have our own
Blogspot, yes.
Yes, we've put articles, Simon, for people to read.
Yep.
Yeah, if you forgot about that one, didn't you?
Yeah.
Because you don't write any, do you?
You're a media officer.
It was. Jay, what are you doing?
Yeah. We're on Spotify as well.
We're on Spotify. So what's our blogspot? It's www.progresswithunicef.blogspot.com. So that we can get picked up there as well every single
Just
week.
Just Google PW Podcast. Blogspot, and you'll get there.
And if you've listened to this, you've already found it.
Yeah.
So well done. Mm-hmm. Spread the word.
Right. We've sorted all that stuff out. Let's have a look at this. We've come to this break in the season. Like us to look at the first six games and what we've made of it so far, and our impressions. I've got some stats here from the first six games, which what I should have done really. But I couldn't be bothered. One of the things I should have done was look at these stats from the last time we were in the Championship. Maybe that would have given us something to compare them against. But the attempts on target and the goals so far this season, we've made an average of 15.333 recurring attempts per game so far. With our highest being the first game of the season against Sheffield Wednesday, when we had 21 attempts on target, and our lowest being 10, which was against the game before QPR.
Forest.
Stoke
away.
That's the lowest, and that's the most convincing one.
Yeah, so that was the lowest. But we've had an average of 15.33. On target, per game, an average of 5. Attempts on target, which I think is quite some good.
One in three.
Yeah, it's quite good. And an average goals. I mean, the last two games we've had a 0 and a 1, but we're still running at 1.833 recurring goals per game.
I want Paul to throw in his usual quote about 2 points a game.
We're not at 2 points a game.
We're not so far off it, are we?
We're at 10 from 6, yeah. And we'll get there if you have on the points that we've been robbed.
Before the season started, who had taken this?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's a decent
start. To be honest, the points, yeah, you take them, but my impression, what I've heard from, but I think Bolton are a point ahead, but the impression that I've got from some of the fans is that they've been a bit lucky, and I think they got found out against Sheffield United, whereas for me, I would say that what I've been most impressed with is the fact that I would say we've deserved something from every one of our games, at least a point. We've probably, in every one of our games, it's debatable whether we've actually possibly even deserved to win all of them. So, to me, that's more than the points, what the points say. The points are there, but if you've been lucky, that would level itself out before the end of the season, whereas I think what's most impressive is the performance.
Mm. Yeah,
when you think down. That we were probably expected to win at QPR, and obviously we didn't. We were winning against Forest going into injury time, and we didn't. And Villa, again, going into injury time, we had a good result and didn't get one. So it's great, really. It's such a competitive league. You've got to be happy with what you've got.
I actually think we've faced a team that are actually better than us this season. It's a bold statement to make, but I think we've matched everyone, and we've been unfortunate when we have lost. I don't want to blame referee decisions, but you have cases in QPR definitely, and Forest with the penalty, but we can be happy with what we've got so far.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, you look at the teams that we have faced, and none of them are at the top at the moment, are they? They're all in the bottom half, so that's a question mark, but yeah,
but have we played anyone above us?
Well,
you know what I mean.
It's irrelevant early on in the season. Isn't it?
Well, Forest were above us when we played them.
Yeah, when you played them. Yeah, yeah. Not
teams,
now. But
teams that are.
I just think that going off table points, fair enough, but tables are just, it's ridiculous at this stage. You know, Leeds were absolutely flying at this stage last season, and they finished 12th or something in the Championship. So to me, until you get to about, well, you usually say 10 to 12 games, yeah. you start getting a flavour of the table then, don't you?
Yeah.
It's about, for me, it's about, can you see us going into our next game and getting something? I think all of us, even while we're playing one of the star teams this season so far, I think all of us would be quite optimistic, I think, wouldn't we?
Yeah. I see what I like, though, about this season is the excitement levels. Whether we've won, drawn or lost, and like I mentioned that, about people leaving early on Saturday, I can't understand it. Because every game's got, you know, on the edge of your seat. I think that, you know, that might have been the poorest game on Saturday. But still, the chances were being created at both ends, and that's what you
yeah, want. I mean, last season, that game on Saturday, if you were to rank it in our league games last year, I think you'd probably put it in the top five home games, because as good as we were, they were a bit boring, weren't they, some of the old games, because they were just the same pattern. We'd get a couple of goals, our teams would defend and we'd nick it in the late, and there just wasn't that much. Away was brilliant, but at home, not that exciting for me last season. The football this year is brilliant. You just look forward to going every week, don't you? Mm. Superb.
So positive then, this season so far?
Yeah.
Very. Yeah, so excellent stuff. Something that I saw last night kind of surprised me when I was watching the Czechoslovakian roundup. Rochdale, young lad, been to school, first day at school.
First day back.
And what was it, actually, first day at school?
My 15, Barry.
I know. And then he makes his debut for Rochdale. Yeah. But also playing for Rochdale last night, on a season-long loan from Nottingham Forest, was Zach Clough.
Mm. Incredible, that.
Yeah. How much did they pay for it? What is 11 million?
I think it weren't that high, but
it wasn't so far off.
It's a marquee signing, that, for Rochdale.
Oh, yeah. Surprised Bolton weren't backing for him.
Had him on loan last season, but he didn't really set it alight there.
Yeah,
so.
I think it shows something. I mean, sometimes you play with a certain club and they suit you.
Yeah.
And you play well.
Same with Matt Bannon and Wigan.
Yeah, you make the move and bush. Yeah. But he didn't want to go anyway, did he? He wanted to stop at Bolton when
they
sold him.
There was another one last night on Checker Trade, I don't know if you saw that, which I thought was an interesting one, was the Macclesfield won a penalty shootout, and that's the ninth consecutive, but also they've only ever had nine penalty shootouts, so in the whatever 100 and odd year history, they've never lost a penalty shootout. Mm-hmm. So
I remember losing to a penalty.
To a penalty, yeah.
Against us back in 20.
Yeah,
that was
it. Are we glad that didn't go
down?
Yeah, he got brought down, yeah, Gomez.
No, I think that man got, oh no, he didn't get set off in that game, did he?
No,
he got all down for a penalty.
Do we need to give a shout out to Jamie Walker and Piggott, who scored last night?
Of course, yeah.
Making debuts for their respective clubs at Morecambe and Peterborough, so that's promising.
Yeah, they're part of the, when the transfer, we could talk about the transfer window now and the relief of it, but they moved on. I think they went when the transfer was closing, they'd gone on loan. Piggott, how long has he been with us? Did he arrive this summer? Or
a few months.
Well, has he?
A few months, maybe.
Well, that's good for him, you know, young to getting out,
yeah.
Scoring goals at any level, professional levels.
Yeah.
I think it's a good move for Jamie Walker as well, if he's playing every week. And they're doing all right, Peterborough, aren't they?
It's getting that match fitness in these leagues and that experience. You know, he got a bit of it last season, but not as much as he probably liked.
Yeah, on that point, I noticed that a bit on social media about, there was a bit of criticism of Cook for basically saying that he's not giving these players a chance, and when we saw Cole for 10 minutes he looked awesome. And my response to that was, well, first, basically implying, well, why did he sign if they're not going to use him? Well, my response to that is, well, we weren't over the line in January. We had Shrewsbury and Blackburn. We all thought we'd be okay, but you lose your Will Grigg. You've got basically James Vaughan, who would he have been able to play full 90 minutes? Probably not. So he's your insurance. We've got a Nick Powell, who looked like he was always 2 minutes away from another injury. Colclough wasn't regularly taking part, so Walker comes in to play a number of positions, and he's there as well. So why wouldn't you sign these players? I'm sure that they've also thought long term that if we do, we can get some money back for them. And basing it on the fact he came on for 10 minutes and set up a goal against Oxford, and he did all right at Bradford, basically saying, well, that means that he qualifies to come in on the bench ahead of season championship pros. I just think he's ridiculous.
The thing is as well, after having met Paul Cook, haven't we, he'd be honest with the players and say, that's what's happened with Max Power, isn't it? He said, this is where you're at. This is, you know, what do you want to do? Because I think ultimately, respects that they do have a career, and that he wants to get the best for them. So if they, you know, he said, look, there is potentially a future, but you need to get your match fitness. You need to prove to us you're not going to make it to the first team. Then it's the right option, isn't it? To
good,
go out.
Good deal for all parties, and I just think I can't understand that. I'm not saying anyone's beyond criticism, but Paul Cook must be pretty close to being beyond it, because he's the reason where we are at the moment. I mean, we said at the start of the season who's the key man. We said at the end of last season who was the key man. Pretty much everyone looking in will say he's one of the most talented managers around, isn't he? And
yeah,
I pretty much trust him over someone who's watched Cole for 10 minutes. Thinks
people asking the question should think to themselves, well, why ask Paul Cook only giving him 10 minutes? There's your answer.
What's he doing every day in training? You don't know, do you? We don't see training every day, do we?
Well, we've said that time and time again, haven't we? You get to see 2 hours of his work. You've got. Look at one of your colleagues, you can evaluate them for 2 hours where they work hard and rest at weakness, that's on the right.
As Simon said, I was thinking about it myself. But
simple Simon.
You two went to the training ground last year and you both said how professional it was. And how it left no stone unturned in the assessment of basically everything.
I went as well, but
these
two stayed long.
EA left early.
I haven't missed traffic.
He had an injury. Yeah,
and I've got short-term memory loss. Sorry,
I'll let you off, Gareth.
Short-term loss. Nick Powell, August Player of the Month for the Latics. Curry's August Player of the Month. Been the Lloyd.
PM, is it?
But he's been nominated. Nominated for the.
Is Bradley Dack?
No.
Who's Bradley Dack?
He's injured.
Is he?
Yeah.
I thought he was on fire.
That's Will Greig, that's Will Greig. So you can vote for Nick Powell. Go on his website. Everything's on there.
Got it done.
Yeah. And some guy called Barry Williamson has said, you know what to do, and put a link on as well. You can catch him on Twitter, whoever he is. Talking of the Latics, what a fantastic offer this is. Bristol City is our next home game. I know it's a Friday night, we're on telly. But £10 a ticket to see live football. And if you want to leave 5 minutes early, you can do. Yeah. There's no problem.
Can you go for food before the game as well?
You can go for food for another £10. It'll cost you £20 for a rig of lettuce.
A beer.
And
a match ticket.
Pasta or pizza, is it?
Yeah.
But a tenner for adults to go and watch Championship football.
Yeah, and if you go early, it costs you 50p, won't it?
Yeah.
You'll throw away 50p if you leave 5 minutes early.
Top six clash as well.
Yeah, brilliant. Right, we had a competition side, didn't we?
We did, in association with the Goal Hanger.
Great prize, commemorating Ben Watson's legendary goal at Wembley to win us the FA Cup.
It was indeed.
Yeah, thank you. Piece of history.
We'll say thank you to the Goal Hanger for donating the prizes.
Massive that, yeah. And they're off for sale though, aren't they? For those unfortunate not to have won. They can catch them on Twitter, can they?
Yes, yeah. We've tagged in quite a lot of stuff, and they're @_goal_hanger.
Yeah.
And we will be running some more competitions down the line if you haven't won this time.
So we have a winner. Do we let Jay announce it?
I think we should pull
it out the hat.
I think we should, and this has been done with 5 other witnesses.
It was out of Guinevere, wasn't it?
Yes.
Jay.
It was very interesting, but Paul Kendrick was the winner. Can't really make it up, can you?
Is this the Paul Kendrick you were talking about earlier on, saying they'd take you under his wing? Is this teaching you how to make pot noodles and the king of puns? That Paul Kendrick?
Maybe, yeah.
Oh. Did you not have it in your palm before you put it in your hand in the bag?
Yeah. I nicked the draw.
Yeah, because
out of 200 over 200 entries we've got in this envelope.
Yeah. Well, congratulations, Paul.
Well done, Paul.
Yeah. I've no doubt you'll be getting Ben to sign us at some point. That'd be a fantastic prize, that. So yeah.
We need you to come down to the Book Cycle to appear on the podcast to pick up your prize.
Yeah.
And talk through what it means to you.
Yeah, and just mentioning Paul, a couple of things to mention, which is he's been in touch with me this evening, funnily enough, before he's won, so don't get no conspiracies in this. But Paul's doing the Great North Run on Sunday, and...
greater than the Wigan 10K run?
Well...
It's further. So.
Yeah, it is further. But... You know, he's doing it for Joe Viscoll. Massive respect, because it's a great thing to do.
Yeah, good luck to him.
Also doing it is Mark Hayes, who at 22 stone and swears he can't even run a bath. You know, to tackle something like this again for the charity is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, good luck.
Knowing Mark, he'll do it.
Yeah,
he'll definitely do it.
Well, legendary status that fellow's got, hasn't he? Legendary.
Yeah.
You can donate to either of Paul or Mark through. Do you have a Just Giving page or?
Have a Just Giving page on their respective Twitter social media accounts.
Yeah, so you can donate there for them. But I mean, I know Paul's been training her for quite a while now, but I believe Mark's been just practicing putting his trainers on and off, hasn't he?
it's a tough because I did it a few years ago and did training for it. It's a hilly course.
It's 13.5 miles as well.
Yeah, I mean the distance itself, but it's not. If you're looking at half marathon, that's one of the toughest as well. So I think his legs will be hurting when he gets onto the South Shields running.
Best of luck to both of them, but especially Mark, and he's an hero for that.
And while we're on the subject of running, can we wish you good luck for Sunday doing the Wigan 10K, Barry?
Of course you can, yes, and I'll be wearing number 87, so if you see a flash go past you and you just catch the 87, that'll be me.
I was scared of the competition, Barry, and once I realised you was running, I had to drop out with an injury.
Well, I have got an injury. I don't know, I've sent you all a photograph of it. It's a bit of a minging injury. Have you not got it? Well, I will be showing you.
That's the prize in it for the next, next one.
I've got a foot. My right foot is covered in blisters, so it's quite painful. But yeah. I will be running.
Not too bad. When's they getting your excuses in?
Yeah,
so.
But I'm not asking for donations, but anything apart from if anybody wants to buy me a pint afterwards, it'll be gratefully received, and a big sausage.
Or sausage puns are the worst.
Borovost, because they have a big Borovost tent. So I'm looking forward to that. I've never had one yet since when I finished.
You've been
this will be my fifth one, this, by the way.
Yeah, good luck, Barry.
Cheers. I'll see you all at the finish line then. Say standing side. We ran a poll
on Twitter and on Facebook. And out of the cumulative votes, 78% of voters were in favour of safe standing and 22% were against.
Yeah, it's me and Gareth.
Yep.
Yeah, no, there was actually a few of my friends voted on no safe standing, which surprised me.
I thought they were all here, your friend.
it was good to see the outcome of that.
Was this your questions?
Do you mind if I go on to listeners' Q&As?
Yeah, go straight on to it.
Okay, so.
Feeling a bit sickly.
This is I'm just going to do the three questions I've got for the table tonight, for the panel. Richard Ricardo sent in a couple of good ones on our Progressive Unity podcast Facebook group.
Just while you mentioned Richard, a big thank you. He did a match report on Saturday, and it's on our blog spot if anybody wants a look at it.
Yeah, I had to read that.
It's an alternative match report, shall we say, but it's very good.
So I've condensed what Richard said. Because they were quite wordy. So, how would you feel without football for 3 years? This is currently the case in Pakistan. So, you know, open that one up.
So when he says it's currently the case in Pakistan, what does he mean by that? Football's been banned.
Well, it's just not taken place for the last 3 years.
Yeah, I remember reading something like that about a year ago, that it's been banned in Pakistan. There was quite a few complaints about it, weren't there? Because, this is a country that
is heavily into football, and they do follow a lot of the European leagues, don't they? The Premier League and also the Spanish yep. stuff that they, you know, they're quite into over there.
Well, for us, it's a bit of a difficult, because I guess the Pakistan's biggest sport would be cricket, wouldn't it? I would think so. I mean, it's like, would you take cricket away for us wouldn't feel the same as taking football away from us for 3 years.
I still miss it though.
Cricket?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be the same as losing. If you had to lose one or the other, you'd lose cricket, wouldn't you?
Like you said, football being our national sport. I mean, from our position.
What would you talk about?
Gas being their national sport.
And being a winter sport as well. There's sort of, if you will, less things to do in winter, because obviously the nights are. The days are shorter, the nights are longer, it's colder.
You can go and
You've
stand,
got many more things to do during the summer.
Go and stand for 90 yeah. minutes and watch some people shopping or something, yeah. you?
At least you would love to be out of a job. No, you've got your boxing, haven't you?
Yeah, I've got boxing to fall back on, so I'll be alright.
Okay, so there's things we could do, but
you haven't got the building
comparison.
Yeah.
I think that's
debatable.
Going to move on. I'll come back to Richard's second question. Kim is a Tick tweeted us before the show saying, how many points from the next five games and how will we do? Based on Brentford away, Hull at home, Bristol at home, Norwich away and Swansea at home.
Can you read them as the answers, please, Sam?
Brentford away, Hull at home, Bristol at home, Norwich away, Swansea away.
Well, I'll go for 6 points. I'll be happy with 6 points after that.
6.
15.
How many games is it?
5. So we've got 6.
I'll have another 10.
Yeah, you want 10 points.
10.
I'll go for a win and a win in 3 draws there.
Gareth.
Paul's magical 2 points a game would be very nice. Yeah.
10.
I mean, are we looking at realistically what we think we'll achieve or what we'd like to? I mean, I'd like to smash them all, but.
How many points do you realistically think we're going to get?
Yeah, I think 6.
We're not playing fantasy football here, are we?
No, 6 points.
6 to 10 then seems to be the
consensus. No,
I think it's doable. Alright,
6 to 15.
This is going
to
be our run.
Oh, yeah, it's
15.
Okay, so where do you see them coming from? Brentford away?
Yeah, I think we could get there.
You have to see them come from every game.
I know, but I'm saying, what do you think we're going to do at Brentford? I'd draw, though.
0-0.
And then who's got at home next?
Hull at home on Tuesday night.
Should beat Hull.
I think we'll beat Hull. Draw against Bristol City.
Should have beat QPR, so. Remember.
Norwich away.
I think we'll lose that one.
And then Swansea at home.
And I think that'll be a draw.
Well, we'll see. Thank you, Kim, for tweeting in,
yeah,
as very always.
Good. Yeah, it's a good question, that.
Yeah. So you've divided the...
And when does that take us to? The end of September?
Are we
into October, though?
No.
Or just to the end of
Preston. Swans is the 2nd of October.
Preston on the 6th, isn't it?
Yeah. There's a lot of games, isn't there? Like what feels like a short space of time.
There is, yeah, 2 midweek games, essentially. Yeah. Tuesday, Friday.
Yeah, 6 games. Well, just over 4.
Anyway, Richard Ricardo's second question, and I've condensed this one again because it's quite a long one, but we've all read it. Thoughts on penalty shootouts? Is there any way that we can improve the deciding of a game? I know he said something about taking a player off every 5 minutes. Playing
I
golden goal.
I would like seen Thierry pulling a player off every 5 minutes.
Golden
I
goal.
Don't think that'd
work. Yeah, you'd know where the mess, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Golden goal.
But I think, yeah, I remember the golden goal was quite good.
Yeah, it was the police that paid to that one.
The idea of the golden goal was good, but it got to a point then where everyone just suddenly thought, oh, I don't want to be the one who makes that final mistake, because it is the end, isn't it, is the golden goal. So I think some of them, it then started to become more defensive, because they were scared of making mistakes.
Do you think the penalty shootout is probably the best way then to...
Oh, I don't know. Do you remember the ones you used to do in America?
They used to run from the halfway?
Yeah, back in the 70s and 80s.
They're the ones that they took from ice hockey and stuff like that.
Yeah, no.
There's nothing more exciting than a penalty shootout. Everyone loves a penalty shootout. So.
But again, it's like... It's
just looking at different things, isn't it?
It's like the thing where you can't watch it, but you're compelled to watch it at the same time. I remember watching that penalty shootout that we won when I was in the States, and I'll never forget it, but it was bloody horrible because we were behind, weren't we? You thought, oh, here we go again, and then
I wouldn't want it to become too gimmicky, though. I think taking players off and that kind of stuff, I don't know. I think that you could always look at it, but I think penalties are here to stay, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, I mean, what was wrong with the replays back in the day?
Well, exactly.
He puts too many games into nowadays. Puts too many games into his schedule, doesn't he?
Well, they only play. There's 20 teams in top division. There used to be 24.
Yeah, but what about those who are in Europe? And
they've got big
squads.
There's
only five teams in Europe, and three of them are knocked out by end of November.
Yeah, there's big squads. We're mourning that we've got players that aren't getting games.
Yeah. I mean, they're diluting everything. Extra time's going in the League Cup, isn't it?
It's gone in the Chequered Trade.
Talking about seeing the FA Cup as well.
FA Cup, were we? Because we said that quarter final would have been decided on the day, so there'd been no replays. Would they get Southampton?
They're talking of FA Cup being played on a weekday as well, aren't they? Getting rid of the Saturday rounds.
They did that about 10 years ago, I think. They played all the quarterfinals in midweek, and presumably it wasn't. Yeah.
Did I sleep that year?
Maybe I was sleeping and dreamt it, but I'll just check it out because I'm pretty certain. But if I'm wrong, it's recorded, so it's not like I can't say.
Obviously.
So yeah, just yeah,
edit it.
Penalties to stay.
Yeah.
But not ABBA.
No. Thanks, Barry. Back to you.
Oh, absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant, that.
Thanks for the questions that keep coming in.
Questions, aren't they? We'll look forward to Richard's questions again next week. We're running out of stuff to ask.
He's going to have a feature soon, isn't he?
Yeah, Richard asks.
Yeah, well, talking of Richard asks, I think we've got time now for Adam asks. So we've got a special guest in the studio this evening, making his debut, Jay. And we like to put our debutants through the paces, so as we've no game coming this weekend, which is the usual Adam asks, so Adam, Jay is going to ask you some questions.
Yeah, and we're not going to have any sound problems because he's actually here next to me in the studio, which makes a change. So I guess the one we always ask away fans is like, when did you start watching Wigan and how did you come to support Wigan in the first place?
My dad's always been a Wigan Athletic fan. My mum is actually a Bolton fan. She's from Little Lever. My dad's from Hindley. I had the choice between Wigan and Bolton. I think you made the right one.
You've properly deputised him for Adam because it's the other way around, isn't it?
The other way around,
yeah. It is.
Twins.
Yeah, so, we're not going to allow you to have the FA Cup because I think pretty much everyone said that, but favourite Latics moment.
I think the one that actually sticks in my mind the most is Wigan 3 Arsenal 2. It was a great comeback inside 10 minutes. I was only quite young at the time, and that's the first proper football moment I had where I was took back. It was unbelievable, and to this day, I think everyone in the room will remember that day and the game and the feelings when we actually scored. Nzobia last minute.
What a goal from Nzobia. Yeah, could keep Wigan Athletic in the Premier League.
Just before he scored that, I remember shouting. I think Figueroa played it to Rodiega deep in the corner.
And take it to Carlo.
Yeah, what on earth are you doing not keeping hold of the ball? And next thing you know, just bananas.
Yeah. So, I guess obviously we've already kind of talked about this season. So, I mean, something we've kind of already asked generally to the panel, but I'm just interested in your thoughts from your perspective about who the star player has been.
Everyone naturally says Nick Powell. Nick Powell's been the star man at Wigan for the last few years. He gets all the plaudits, but for me, Nick Powell isn't our most important player. Sam Morsy. I know he's had a few hiccups against Nottingham Forest, where he made the error, but Sam Morsy for me is captain fantastic. He generals the midfield and he does everything you want your central midfielder to do. So Sam Moss has been my star man.
Yeah, and obviously you told us before kind of you know working for Paul.
Yeah.
At the post. Just a bit. I know you do the sort of review of like the social media, and you tend to put all the player stuff on. How do you select the fans? Like, I mean, what do you make your choice on? Controversy or something that you agree with?
Usually it's the ones without swearing in. That's the first protocol. But no, it's just the best tweets, really. I try not to include the same people every week. But obviously there's quite a few well-spoken Latics fans. It's pretty easy. It's more enjoyable doing it after you win. Because obviously you know, when it's going to have that rough patch Paul Cook keeps on telling us about. It's going to be an even more interesting read with the Athletics meltdown.
Yeah, and I know, like, being on this podcast tonight, you probably feel that you really have made it and it can't actually get any better. But what's kind of your sort of aspirations, you know, in the, is it going to be sports journalism? Is that what you want to do?
Yeah, it's what I'd like to do. I'm not sure what career path I'm going to go down just yet. I'm still only 19, so I'm just going to see what happens.
You're not 19 forever.
Well, you get about 12 months of it.
Yeah, you do, believe it or not. But no, I'm just going to see what happens and see what my life takes me.
Are you studying at the new the football?
Yeah,
I can't remember what it's called.
UCFA, the university.
Yeah, is it good?
Air quotes.
Is that a wrestling thing? No, kids fighting.
Dyslexic.
Don't have a UFC, man.
Yeah, it's all right. I need to be careful what I say here. it's good for what you want to do, but I'd probably pick to go somewhere else if I had the choice.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's something that's new and up and coming, isn't it?
Yeah, it's different.
It'll grow.
It will grow and it'll get better as years go on. It's still very new for a uni.
Obviously, you're at a campus that holds grand memories as well for Latics fans, don't you?
Oh, yeah. My lecturer's a City fan, and I make sure to let him know every day about the upset earlier this year and obviously in 2014,
2013.
Yeah, 2014.
So does that mean you use as the Eastlands at dinner time?
Yeah, that's where I go for my dinner, yeah.
I better keep my eyes peeled then.
Yeah.
There are other supermarkets available.
Yeah, there is. There's a McDonald's nearby as well.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. Much appreciated.
Excellent stuff. Si?
Yes, I just want to shout out to Ian Carter, who was taken ill at the end of the game on Saturday, and he's currently in a stable condition, and just want to wish him all the best. From not only myself but everyone at the PW podcast and all our listeners, we hope for a speedy recovery and to see you back on the terraces soon.
Yeah, second that as well. Yeah, so speedy recovery. There we go.
Hopefully, be on the men soon.
Yeah, he's a big Latics fan, and he'll be
well known as well, isn't he?
Yeah, well liked amongst the Latics community.
Just before we finish, players are out in international duty this weekend. Will's in the Northern Ireland squad, and
Will Jones, I'd say he's always on international duty. Yeah.
Sammy Morse gone with the Egyptians, and Anthony Robinson.
Tony's out there, isn't
he? Jedi is away with the US, so
let's hope they can have a rip roaring success there.
Congratulations to Paul Kendrick for winning the comp. Cheers, dear, for stepping into the breach. No game for us this weekend, but we'll be back next Wednesday. So in the meantime, stay classy, Wigan. Up the Ticks.
Up the Ticks.